opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Robbing and shooting and raping and killing, bloody murder, molesting, running airplanes into buildings. Every time I turn around, something else is going wrong. Yeah, tell me, what the hell is going on?
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am podcast network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
And you found it. Once again, this is the Rusty Satellite Show. This is your host, Rick Redding, on the show that introduces you to the most interesting people in the Ville each and every week for 112 straight weeks now. I'm having a great time doing the show. It's been an especially good week this week. I don't know if it's the fact that I played a lot of golf last weekend or that I spent a lot of time hanging out with some media types at the Kentucky State Fair, but things are going really well, and I've also got a lot to look forward to. It's almost football season, and I'm doing the big weekend, the Western Kentucky versus Vanderbilt at Nashville, and then the Louisville versus Auburn in Atlanta coming up very soon. And, oh, well, I know why I'm so happy. Sound like Bill Maher. I know why you all are happy. I know why I'm so happy. This Friday, August 28th, is my birthday. I found out. I was at the Kentucky State Fair on Tuesday. It was Senior Citizens Day, believe it or not. And I found out that if you are 55 and over, you get in on Senior Citizens Day at the fair for a dollar. And I just wondered. I was there working, but I was wondering what would have happened if I'd have showed up 3 days shy of my 55th birthday, if they'd have let me in or not for the dollar. You know, that's the question. I don't know. And next year, if I choose to go to the fair and I'm not working and I have to pay to get in, I wonder if I'll get that discount on Senior Citizens Day. I'm not sure. But anyway, that's why I'm in such a good mood, I guess. You know, I did go to the fair. I saw some great friends in the media, people that are close to the show. Terry Miners, one of my favorite guests on this show, was there. I saw Tony Vannetti, who's been on this show. Also met with the guys from ESPN 680, Jason Anderson and Andy Sweeney were there. Had another occasion to meet a media guy that I'm going to have on the show in the near future. That's John Belsky of WLKY's meteorology staff. He was in a great mood. He's doing great. So lots going on. But this show in particular is an arts themed show. I have two guests from the Louisville arts community, and we are very fortunate here in Louisville to have some great arts options for entertainment. And I want to tell you about them real quick. In the second half of the show, I'm going to have Joe Mekovich, who is a very interesting guy. I met him up at the Kentucky Opera headquarters on Broadway, and just a fascinating guy. Spends a couple of months a year here and travels the world as an orchestra conductor. One of the more rare job titles you can find in the world. And also in the first part of the show, I talked with Jennifer Bielstein, who is the managing director of the Actors Theater, and that's one of my favorite things about Louisville is going to Actors Theater. I'm very fortunate to get to go to a lot of performances there. You'll love our conversation about the business of Actors Theater. It's a lot bigger than you might think. It really is. But before we get into my conversation with Jennifer, I want to tell you about one of my favorite sponsors, Snelling Staffing. Each week we have a job of the week here on the show, and I'm sure that some of these jobs are getting filled, but this is a really good one. This is a job of the week is a certified medical assistant. You must have a 1 year of experience to get this job as a CMA. Your duties will include organizing patient flow, accompany patients to exam and procedure room, verify patient information by interviewing patient and confirming purpose of visit, prepare patients for examination by performing preliminary physical tests, taking blood pressure, weight, and temperature, assist physician with minor office procedures, provide pre- and post-op patient education, triage patient messages, answer calls, provide pertinent information under the direction of the physician, call in prescriptions and refills to the pharmacy. You must be certified to be considered for this job. If you'd like it, call Stephanie at 814-9800. That's Stephanie at 502-814-9800. You know, I've dealt with some CMAs recently. I am having ankle surgery in November, and I just got... had a visit from my doctors, Dr. Glill. He's a famous foot surgeon here in town, and he's going to straighten my ankle out. If you go on Facebook, you can see the x-ray of how jacked up my ankle is, and I'm looking forward to getting that surgery done in November, but that'll be after we've had a full season, pretty much a full season of college football. I'm very excited about that. That's coming up, but it's also the start of the season for a lot of your local arts groups in the Kentucky Opera has a great schedule coming up. You'll hear about later in the show. But first, Jennifer Beilstein is appearing on the show. I also had, if you remember, a while back, I had Les Waters on the show. He's the artistic, he's the genius over there that makes all the stuff work. But Jennifer plays a very important role in making the business of Actors Theater work. And I found out a lot about her, and I want you to hear about it. So stay tuned after this message. You'll hear from Jennifer Beilstein of Actors Theater.
As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect. But the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was gonna do anyway. When they say, we take the time to care, they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
All right, the Rusty Satellite Show is at the offices of Actors Theater with Jennifer Beilstein, the managing director. Welcome, Jennifer, to the show.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor.
Yes. Well, all of us in public that go to Actors Theater shows basically know you're that woman that comes out with Les before everything starts, right? And they say, what does she do? So here's your chance. Tell us a little bit about what you do here at Actors.
Thank you for asking. So Les and I work in partnership to lead the organization, and what I do specifically is oversee all of the marketing and fundraising, finances, general management, HR, IT, the facilities and operations, and then Les and I both work to represent the organization in the community locally as well as with our various industry associations nationally, since we have we play a big role in the field of theater nationally as well.
Yes, and you know, I love coming to the actor shows, and Kirstie's nice enough to let me come in. I just love them, and but it's really a business, just like anything else, right? And you're sort of running the business side of the ship here, right?
Absolutely. We just make sure that we're aligned on key strategic decisions. So, for example, if Les said, oh, I want to program a season where everybody's naked, I might say, well, we should think about that and how that would work with our audiences. Would it be, would we get more audiences or would we lose some?
Yeah, well, I think you ought to try that one for sure. We'll see how that goes. But So in terms of the business, you just had your stockholders report there. What are some of the highlights of that? I mean, because people don't know really what it takes to make this place operate. There's a lot of employees here, it seems like.
Sure. Almost 300 employees, 269 last year. Wow. So about 150 roughly of those are employees who are with us for the full season. We had 40 apprentices and interns working with us. And then the rest are the artists that we hire in for each production, whether it's a director, designer, or actor working on that show. Yeah, and in terms of it being a business, we are a business, of course, but we're a nonprofit business, so we are mission-focused and don't ever make a profit, really. If we were to have a slight surplus at year-end, it would probably go to replace an HVAC unit or something in our facilities that we can never afford to address. But it does cost us about $11 million to produce the volume and quality of productions that we do. And when we benchmark against our peers around the country, we actually produce twice as many productions as they do for the same amount of money. So some of those, I mean, this organization has evolved as a very lean and efficient and frugal operation. And So we stretch the dollars thin, but that may be a number that seems like a large number. But theater is a very handmade art form, so it requires hundreds of people to create each production. So right. when you know you come as an audience member, you see the magic, and it looks easy because everybody's a pro at what they're doing. But you know, someone in our prop shop has made the property that an actor is holding in their hand. Someone in our scene shop has built the set. We've either built or shopped for the furniture. We've built the costumes, and so a lot of people work behind the scenes for months or even years to create each show.
Well, I'm going to talk about a few of them I remember. Great, but on you personally, how does what's the career path to get to this spot here at Actors?
Yeah, whenever I determined that I wanted to be a managing director of a major regional theater whose work I loved, I was in college, and there wasn't a clear path to pursue. I think classically, some people had worked in general management or, you know, kind of the business office of theaters and moved into these roles. And now these roles, because there's so much more pressure on sales and fundraising, a lot of us are moving into these roles through a marketing or development path. And so my career, I studied business and theater in undergrad and also have my MBA, but my career moved through the marketing path within various theaters in Chicago.
Cool. And you grew up where?
Texas mostly, but that's a complicated question. Texas, Louisiana, Colorado, California. Went to college in North Carolina and then lived in Chicago before moving here.
So you got around. You've seen a lot of different parts of the country.
Yeah.
And so you like Louisville. You're settled here, right?
Love Louisville. Yes. Yeah.
And this is the place. What kind of other than going to the theater, what do you like about Louisville? Where do you go?
To restaurants and to clubs to hear live music and to other arts organizations. I love Louisville because it's so welcoming. People have from day one been warm, and you can immediately find a community of people to connect with. And certainly I love that Louisville embraces the arts and considers the arts a priority. And then it's just easier to live here. I know everybody's frustrated with traffic of late, but compared to living in Chicago, I don't know. It's easy to get around here, from my
really,
point of view.
It really is. So, well, let's talk about what's coming up. You know, it's the beginning of a whole new season, and there's a lot of excitement at the beginning of the season, right?
Yeah.
It's like in sports, we're all undefeated at this point, right? So, You got to get excited. I know I've read about Seven Guitars. That sounds like a very interesting production.
Yeah, we opened that show on September 3rd, and it's a play by August Wilson, part of his Century Cycle, chronicling the African-American experience across the 20th century. And this is the play that takes place in the 1940s, and we'll have some blues in it. And it's directed by Coleman Domingo. We produced the world premiere of a play that he wrote as a playwright in the Humana Festival this past year, Dot. And it's going to be terrific.
Okay, great. I know, I don't know if you have, how long have you been in this?
I've been here 8.5 years.
8.5 years. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Any productions you remember as you know, just very the most memorable of what you've been involved
that's
in?
That's a tough question. Yeah, there's so many.
I'm full of tough questions.
Because we produce so many shows, and there are many wonderful ones for many reasons. I think one of the interesting things we've been working on under Les's artistic leadership is doing work that is by, about, for this community. So this past year we created a production of At the Vanishing Point that was about the Butchertown neighborhood.
I saw that. That was very good.
Good.
That was fun.
I'm glad you liked it. I loved the way everything was interconnected in that. It was lovely, and Ben Solee played throughout the production. And then in the Humana Festival, we did a play called The Glory of the World, which was a celebration of Thomas Merton and all of his complexities.
I remember that one.
You know, we have other ideas floating out there, and I think that's just really important. As a nonprofit organization, we're here to serve this community, and we do make all of our selections around the thinking that we want this work to be relevant to this community. So there are conversations we also want to expand around all of the shows that we do, and we are increasing sixfold a series that we have called the Community Conversation, where we drill down on the themes and issues explored within a show. So the first one will be for Seven Guitars. We'll be doing one for Luna Gale and for 4,000 Miles, where we'll have some kind of reception before the show, but then people will watch the production, and then we'll have a panel of experts discuss some of the themes in the play that evening. And I have found people are really hungry to deepen that dialogue and are up for the intellectual exploration of what they've seen. And
yeah,
it's
seems
really
like you
rewarding.
Want to do more than just go to the show. There's all these events around every production that you can go to and experience, meet the actors, et cetera.
Yeah. So we really try and open up the process. We have open tech rehearsals where you can see when all of the lights and sound and costumes are coming together and actors are first on the stage and out of the rehearsal room and many other events.
Yeah. All right, well, you won't believe that. I have an answer for when people ask, what's the most fun you've had at Actors Theater?
It
wasn't a big deal or anything, but I took my son, who at the time was maybe 12 or something. Do you remember the wrestling movie with Chad Deity?
Oh, yeah.
That was the most fun thing.
It's fabulous.
We got to hold up signs and cheer.
And that was so fun because we as an organization really worked closely with Ohio Valley Wrestling, mm-hmm. located in Louisville, and saw the parallels between the world of professional wrestling and live theater and the performance aspects, the rigor and training, and it was an unlikely partnership, right? And
right.
So a little cross-pollination of our audiences.
And in addition, there was sort of a message in there about racism and all that, which theater, you know, brings out so well.
Yeah.
I think. So
yeah.
So that's my testimonial for
I'm
that.
I'm glad
so.
You loved that.
But one more, we got time for like one more topic here, and I'd like to just ask you about the Humana Festival. You know, all you hear is how big of a deal it is outside of Louisville. Give me an idea of how big it is outside of Louisville. I mean, I know it's like everybody in theater must aspire to have a play here, right?
Absolutely. I mean, we read close to 1,000 scripts each year in consideration for the 6 to 7 slots that we are able to produce for the Humana Festival. And so,
I've got one out in my car. Can I bring that?
You can. Usually we require an agent to submit it, but, you know, we'll let you. We'll read your
I've been
show.
Working on it a long time. So.
but it's really... it's pretty amazing for the field of theater because we are able to fully produce these works so that then the playwright can see how an audience actually responds to a fully produced production versus actors just reading it from a script. And then they can, and then we get people to come here to see the shows that work in the industry that are agents and producers and artistic directors and get them to give future life to that production. So they go on to subsequent productions and the canon of American theater is expanded and remains vital.
Yeah, and aren't some of those are performed beyond that, of course.
Oh yeah,
For
years and years.
I can't remember if the one that's coming to my mind. I thought I read about the Christians.
Yeah, so for example, the Christians that was in the 2014 Humana Festival. It has now. Les Waters is actually directing it as we speak at Playwrights Horizons in New York. Yeah. Then it will go to Center Theater Group in Los Angeles and has gotten quite an expanded interest. I think there's a production to be scheduled in London. So it's exciting. Yeah. Many of them go on to, you know, hundreds of subsequent productions.
So
and that's what
thing.
We want.
Yeah.
Well, not bigger and better. Just more.
More. Lesser than Actors Theater, of course. So anyway, we got to wrap it up here, Jennifer. You've been a great guest. Any other messages you'd like to? I guess you want to encourage people to come out to your new play, Seven Guitars, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I just think in Louisville, if you value the arts organizations, please the best thing that you can do is attend, buy tickets, and come see the work that we're all doing. And we would really appreciate that at Actors.
All right. Well, you can read about all the plays on LouisvilleKY.com, and you know we'll keep finding people over here to have on the Rusty Satellite Show too. Thanks for being on, Jeff.
Thank you.
Well,
welcome back, and a big thank you to Jennifer Beilstein for being on the show. I certainly love going down to Actors Theater. The Seven Guitars play that is their first performance of the season. I'm really looking forward to that. I'm going to try to get in there and see that one as well. Great folks down at Actors Theater. So stay tuned. We'll continue with our arts-themed Rusty Satellite podcast. We've never really had a theme before, so you know I'm just making that up. But Joey Mekovich of the Kentucky Opera is coming up next. But first, as followers of the show know, I talk in this portion of the program about some news items that have come to my attention or the interesting things that are happening in my life. I just came back from the business lash from the Jefferson Town Chamber. Met all our good friends up in J-Town and talked. You know, I don't know if this ever happens to you, but, you know, it does to me. I go in somewhere and I'll meet somebody I don't really recognize and I'll say, "Hi, I'm Rick Redding," and they'll say something like, "What happened tonight?" "Rick Redding? Iroquois High School?" And I'll say, "Yeah, it only seems to happen in Louisville, Kentucky, maybe." But was happy to see that Tim Miller, a guy who I went to high school with at Iroquois, remembered me and said hello. So that was a lot of fun. And over in J-Town, they're all excited about the Gaslight Festival coming up. It's right down the street from my house. Looking forward to it. You may know that Louis Authentic Detroit Style Pizza is right in the heart of J-Town. They have opened this is sort of the news portion. They have opened a facility or a location down in the Highlands for, I guess it's targeting late night eating. I don't have all the details yet, but I saw on Facebook they were doing this thing. Congratulations to Mike Spurlock and the gang at Louis. Detroit Authentic Style Pizza. So, the news. There is some cool stuff coming on as we're getting into the end of the summer. A lot of news is starting to happen, and one of my favorite stories this week was that former Rusty Satellite guest Matt Jones, the UK basketball and football aficionado, radio personality, maybe the best known voice in the state, has announced he's considering a run for Congress. Believe it or not, he's going to run. As you know, if you listen to the show, Matt... Oh, looky here. Lovely Paula is here from Snelling Staffing to deliver a drink. Thank you, Paula.
You are so welcome.
Thank you. Great. So, anyway, I'm talking about Matt Jones, and he's going to run for Congress. Matt, as you heard, if you listened here, is kind of a liberal. He's a big supporter of President Obama, and he has targeted Andy Barr, who's a congressman from the eastern part of the state in Lexington, Kentucky. And I don't know, that would be one of the most interesting political races in our recent history. Jones has wonderful name recognition, is very popular. Even though he's liberal, he's very popular in all these conservative parts of Kentucky, and he would be a great stump speaker. He would be really good at politics. As you know, he officiated over the Fancy Farm picnic in Western Kentucky back at the 1st of August. I'm going to be following that story. It's not a lark. I mean, he's very serious, and there have been news stories in the media about Jones' potential run for Congress. You know, I would love it if we had people like him in office rather than, okay, let's face it, people like Andy Barr or Mitch McConnell or Rand Paul, those guys. But anyway, we'll see. We'll be following that story with Matt Jones, and it's great. He's a former Rusty Satellite guest. You know, another story that came out, and I know this. I know Greg Stumbo because I was a part of his campaign for lieutenant governor back in 2007. Greg Stumbo has come out saying he has a plan for expanded gaming in the state. Now, of course, you know, Kentucky has missed the boat completely on the financial boom that is to be made from casinos in the state, because every state around Kentucky has had a progressive enough legislature to pass the legislation that makes them possible. I was at an event a few weeks ago in which Matt Bevin, the Republican candidate for governor, was speaking, and he basically said, if I'm elected, there ain't going to be no gambling. You know, he would outlaw parimutuel gambling at racetracks or the lottery if it was up to him. He is so far to the wrong side of that issue. But Stumbo, who is, I believe, is the leader of the majority in the state house, a very powerful position. Stumbo is a wonderful speaker. He's from Eastern Kentucky. I went down there to Prestonsburg with him one time, and I'll never forget it. What a command of the audience he had. Greg Stumbo he's the man, you know, and if he gets behind this gaming initiative, I think it might have a chance. Although, you know, be honest with you, there's a little truth in what Bevin said at the meeting I was at, is that opportunity has come and gone for Kentucky. The big money to be made was made in the first few years, and being the last in is not the way. But Kentucky, you know, basically we need the money, and the people want it. And the only reason is these stubborn rural lawmakers who base their opinion on religion and just moral grounds, and that's why we don't have expanded gaming. That's why we don't have casinos here in Kentucky. It's a travesty, if you ask me. I remember, we'll bring up Steve Beshear now. Governor Steve Beshear, when he was elected governor in 2007, the only reason he won was because he told the people that he had the power by sheer force of his personality, he would make gaming happen. And he got in office and discovered very quickly that that was not the case. You know, the opposition on the Republican side, primarily back then David Williams, kept Beshear from fulfilling his campaign promise. And now, you know, Beshear has never been one of my favorites. And what happened this week, just to update you on what's going on with the same-sex marriage program, if you recall, there was a challenge to Kentucky's same-sex marriage law. Beshear said, okay, Kentucky has a law in the books that said, you know, basically against same-sex marriage. And he went to his attorney general, now gubernatorial candidate Jack Conway, and said, basically, you're going to defend the state's law on this, right? And Jack said, in a very emotional moment, said, hey, it's a losing proposition. We're on the wrong side of this. I'm not going to fight it. So what Beshear does, he goes, spends more taxpayer money. He goes, hires a law firm in, I'm sure they're buddies of his, hires a law firm, pays them a lot of money to defend this law that was, I mean, basically, it was a losing proposition. The Supreme Court, of course, ruled that same-sex marriage is the law of the land. And now the attorneys that were involved in that case, basically, it's a situation of the winner wins and the loser pays. And so since Kentucky lost, we're looking at footing the bill for, I think the number was something like $2 million for this folly of Governor Beshear's in defending the state's same-sex marriage law that was ruled unconstitutional by several levels of the judicial system. So good old Governor Beshear has really cost the state a lot of money on the same-sex marriage battle. And now the further embarrassment to the state, this Rowan County judge executive who was refusing to grant marriage license, he's convinced some lawmakers to put forth legislations where the county clerks, you know, one of their few jobs is to record marriage license. Now they want it out of the job. They want it to be automated or some sort of system that would cost a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of money in our state legislature to make this thing happen. And instead of just ordering, you know, basically let the court system play out and the clerks will either have to do their job or they can go do some other job. Even Bill Lamb on WDRB, I saw an editorial that he did the other day, and he said, he made it clear that he's against the same-sex marriage law. He doesn't think it should be the law of the land, but he says the county clerks need to do their job. The Constitution, you know, if you lose, basically these people like the Rowan County judge and all the county clerks around the state, basically they're being sore losers. They've lost. They need to follow the law now. So anyway, that's how I feel about that. Some other stories of interest here in Louisville. If you're following the old economy, and I only say this because I drive by there every day on my way to and from work on Barstown Road. The economy inn is in further trouble. Metro Councilman Steve Magray has put out, has been fighting a battle to get the people who own the economy inn to go out of business. They failed another inspection this week and are once again threatened to be shut down by the city. The health department is all over that case and movement is foot. That is just a haven for bad stuff. Rumors of prostitution, drugs, all that sort of stuff is going on there. And plus they just don't keep the place clean enough to keep the bugs out. So I think you're going to hear eventually that the economy inn is going to go out of business. It's just a matter of time before the process goes through and takes it. It's a very valuable place, valuable real estate. It'd be interesting to see what would happen to that location if the economy inn is forced out. That'll be interesting to see. So anyway, I want to talk about some positive stuff that's going on in town. How about the soccer thing? You know, Wayne Estopinall has been on the show, and Amanda Duffy, the general manager of the Louisville City FC, has been on the show. They had a record crowd again Friday night for a match with the pro team. It looks like two things are happening. There's a movement to build a new stadium for soccer in this city, and there's a lot of talk about where it will be and how big it will be and all that. And Wayne, of course, is an architect. Tech. He certainly has some ideas on how to build a stadium. Secondly, it looks like the Louisville is up already, even after 1 year as the in this league that is not the top league in soccer, is up to move up to the major leagues. And soccer may be the sport that finally puts Louisville on the map in major league sports. That would be a really cool thing, I think. So we'll see. I think they have a game again this weekend. So if you haven't been, you ought to get out there and see a game. It's a blast. Even if you, like me, don't understand soccer so much. One last thing, and I want to get back to the not understanding something so much, but one last thing. If you check out my story in Insider Louisville, I write a piece every 2 weeks for my friends at Passport Healthland, and it's a health column. And this week I have an interview with Dr. Sarah Moyer, who you may recall was on this show, and she is the interim director of the public health department. And basically the thing that she's done in her 6 to 8 months tenure on there, the biggest accomplishment is the syringe exchange program. It's helped for heroin addicts, and it's a really positive thing. It's a good thing. She's fought through the politics. She's fought through the obstacles that would have kept that from happening, and made Louisville's exchange program one of the most successful, certainly the most successful in the state, and one of the models for the country. So congratulations to her. Check that out on Insider Louisville starting on Thursday. So anyway, so I got an opportunity to meet Joe Mekovic, and I got to admit, I've not been to the opera. I've never been to an opera, and I don't know what it's about, and I regret that. I'm going to try to go this year, because to hear Joe talk about it, it's very exciting, and it's a cultural thing that we should all do. We're very fortunate here in Louisville to have a great, great opera program. So I want to get right on to it. I went up to the sixth floor of the Art Space building on Broadway, right next to the Brown Theater. Was just fascinated by Joe's story. So after this message, we'll get right to that interview. So stay tuned.
No matter how young and healthy you are, life can be full of unpleasant surprises. And without health insurance, even a short hospital stay could set you back thousands of dollars. If you qualify for expanded Medicaid, you can get coverage through Passport Health Plan. Find out if you qualify. Call 855-459-6328 or go online at kynect.ky.gov. Choose Passport, the plan that takes the time to care.
All right. Once again, the Rusty Satellite Show is in a place we've never been before, the sixth floor of the Art Space building on Broadway downtown with Joe Mekovic. Joe, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
And I've just learned a little bit about you. You seem to have a fascinating background. Tell our audience exactly what your role here is with the opera.
Very good. I've been a principal conductor for Kentucky Opera for about 5 years. I've done a number of shows and spent quite a bit of time here in Louisville. So I have a great appreciation for this wonderful city and this area of the country and the patrons that frequent the Brown Theater here. And I conduct opera. Who would have figured, but there's opera conductors out there, and I'm one of them.
Yeah, I imagine that's one of those jobs there are very few of. You could go on, what's that old show, Once by Line, and
that's true.
An opera director.
Yep. Usually when I say if I'm a conductor, people say either of a train, but there was one woman who said, of electricity. She missed the whole train thing, so bless
and
her.
And I mean, I guess you do. Call you maestro, or
yeah,
is that
do,
part
yeah.
of it?
Yeah. Sometimes we have to play that game. I don't like that, but... You know,
I don't. I'm sure you saw that series of Mozart in the Jungle.
Absolutely,
you're familiar with that.
Yeah.
So that was a really entertaining show to me. I thought it was really good. So tell me about this season. What's going on with the projects you're working on and getting ready? Because I guess it's coming up soon.
Yeah, it's terribly exciting here. Just in a few weeks, on September 18th, we open our season with Giuseppe Verdi. Giuseppe Verdi is an Italian composer, his opera Macbeth. And everyone knows Macbeth from the Shakespeare play.
Mm-hmm.
So Giuseppe Verdi wrote this in 1847 based on the play. It has, of course, Macbeth and Lady Macbeth in it. And instead of the three witches, it has a chorus of witches. So it's the ultimate Game of Thrones opera. Yes. It is ghoulish, it is bloody, it is vengeful. it's a wonderful, wonderful opera to partake in.
Okay. Well, great. Well, that sounds very interesting, although I have to admit to you, I've not been, and so I should go this year and see this production. But tell me, let's talk a little bit about your background. You told me, because
if you've got one of these few jobs in the world, people are interested in how do you get the job.
And, I've had a relationship with this company because the former general director, David Roth, and I were very good friends. I spend most of my year traveling to different cities throughout the world conducting opera. And it's nice to have a home company where I get to collaborate with a team of people here, have an artistic presence, and then also have a relationship with the patrons in the community. So I travel 9 to 10 months out of the year, wow, going around flapping my arms.
Yeah. So all right. So let's. I want to get to two things about what you just said. But you said you travel a lot, but when you're in Louisville, you enjoy it. Do you have, like, favorite restaurants, favorite things you do while you're here?
Absolutely. I mean, I like to go to people's houses. That's always the best thing because, you know, on the road you eat a lot out of restaurants.
Exactly.
But I was very one of my favorite places is closed right now, the Yaffa, right across the street, this wonderful little Mediterranean place. I think they're building a tall building across the street. But I love Proof a great deal, and Harvest. Gislain, that little French bakery on Market.
Oh, yeah.
That's delicious.
Been there many times.
And a barbecue at the Frankfurt Avenue Beer Depot, for sure. The brisket's the best in the country, absolutely.
Well, good. Well, I'm glad that, you know, the opera guy didn't just like the classy restaurants. Like
no.
That. You got to get down and get some barbecue.
Absolutely.
So, on a serious, I guess, sad note, I did want to mention, I know the community was really saddened with David Roth's passing, and there's a lot of tributes to him and all that. He's a good friend of yours. I guess that really was tough for you.
It was. But, you know, David was consumed with bringing theater to this community and bringing opera to the region and being a part of the national presence. He had such a passion, and he and I both share that passion for this art form. And it's wonderful to continue it with the patrons here and the company here and continue his spirit and his efforts to bring opera to Louisville.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's great. And I understand you guys are doing a lot of outreach, a lot of efforts to I guess connect with the community.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, listen, we only have a few chances to actually connect with our community. We do 2 performances of each main stage opera here at the Brown. So that only gives us 6 opportunities to touch our patrons. So we have developed a series of other outreach programs, mostly in the schools here throughout Jefferson County and throughout the region. We have a wonderful relationship with an orchestra in Owensboro, Kentucky, where we send some of our younger singers to do their first opera with orchestra in a wonderful creative environment. So we developed these programs to become Kentucky Opera part of the Commonwealth and the art scene here, to reach out. Adult education is something that's going to be coming to the forefront in the upcoming season with Adult Education 101 classes. What is opera? What is this thing that's on stage with people screaming at me? Really cool things to engage the community and really bring this amazing art form and make it more accessible.
Are there programs, let's say, you know, you're very young and in school and you see opera and you say, well, that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
How does one go about that?
Well, opera can be very overwhelming. I mean, it could be argued that it's the highest art form. It incorporates music, it incorporates the visual elements, and of course the literary elements. You're dealing with words. So there's a lot going on. So opera's not just about the singers. It's not just about the conductor or the musicians in the pit, but there's so many different aspects of this art form behind the proscenium and the theatrical, the technical aspects, you know, the stage hands, the costume designer, the seamstress, the props person. There's a whole army of people that go on to put these operas together. So it's very exciting to see young people, and not just get them to see the product, but get them behind the scenes, just to see how many variety of jobs, of wonderful professions you can pursue, not just in opera, but in the theater.
Okay. But and there is, like, you know, I'm going to show my ignorance here, but within opera, especially within singers, there's like a major leagues. I mean, the ones that are really good are really far and above better. What makes the great opera star?
Well, for me, the great opera star is about being able to have the theatrical element. not just the talent of the beautiful voice, but be able to be a very strong actor. This is an acting town with Actors Theater. Mm-hmm. People are usually, they want to go to the theater to be moved, to see a piece of theater, not just musically when it comes to opera, but a piece of a visceral experience. And here in the Brown Theater, which is a very intimate space, we are able to have the operas sort of engulf and envelop the patrons. It's really a wonderful space to see some of these operatic gems.
Mm-hmm. Now, do the people who star in the productions, are they from here, or do
they travel? Yeah, we bring people from all over the country, the continent, the world to come here. I mean, opera singing is a Olympic event. You have to be an athlete to be an opera singer. Those two little muscles in your throat, those vocal cords, are well developed in most of these athletes.
Yeah.
Because singing is such a physical, a physically demanding event, and so you have to find those athletes.
Yeah.
So
I've never heard it referred to as athletic before, but
absolutely.
And what kind of training goes into this?
Years and years and years of developing that muscle, the vocal folds, the way how to breathe, how to project without a microphone and fill a hall, mm-hmm. whether it's the Whitney Center, which is 2,400 seats, or the Brown Theater, which is 13. And to languages, you have to be able to be facile in Italian, French, and German, sometimes Russian, sometimes Czech. Memorizing the amount of time that a singer or actor has to do in terms of memorizing the 3-hour role. There's a lot involved in these mental.
So this production that's coming up that you're doing, is that, what language is that?
That's in Italian. Verdi is an Italian composer. So there's a lot of pasta in the music, and you know what you have in your head of papà, and you know that's definitely in this wonderful score.
Wow.
It's a very creative score.
Wow. Well, certainly it sounds interesting. Let me go back to you and your life, because you spend this small amount of time in Louisville.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about some of the other places that you
some of my repeat offenders, as I call them. I spend time in San Diego. There's a wonderful opera company there, which is an unfortunate place to go to in the wintertime. Just kidding. I do a lot of work in Calgary. This year I go to New Zealand to do Nixon in China. I spend a lot of time in Milwaukee at a wonderful company there on the shores of Lake Michigan. You know, like I said, it's 9 to 10 months out of the year.
Yeah.
I was just in Montreal doing a show. So
wow. So living on the road, I guess you just adapt to that. I guess you family.
You adapt because this is the job. Absolutely,
yeah.
That's what it is.
Well, cool. Yeah. Now you said Nixon in China. That intrigues me. Is that a newly written production?
Yeah, it was written in the 79 or 82, I can't remember, by American composer John Adams. And basically what it is sort of an impression of the events that happened during that time period when Nixon was in China. It's very modern. Mm-hmm. It's a totally surreal and cool piece. Super difficult for the singers and the orchestra to play.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Okay, so before we wrap it up here, let's remind folks again what is coming up here in Louisville that they can go see and experience.
Great. Like, coming up, our opening night is September 18th, followed by a matinee of Giuseppe Verdi's Macbeth, a really ghoulish and wonderful show. In the month of November, we do an American composer, Jake Hagee, his opera Three Decembers, which chronicles the life of a woman it's separated by decades, Three Decembers, 1986, 1996, and 2006, and dealing with her kids and what a family unit's like. It's a really amazing contemporary sort of story that one could relate to.
Sounds and the like final is that more in English or
that's
or?
All full on in English.
Okay.
Absolutely.
That's the one for me.
That's right. Well, no, even if it's in Italian, we have above the stage, we have surtitles, the translation.
Okay.
And opera is based on melodrama. So it's like if you're watching General Hospital and you turn the sound off, you can tell what's going on with the acting.
Exactly.
So you can really tell. And then our third show that's going up in February is Showboat. It's a crossover piece. It's more music theater, but we have a really great, wonderful singer-actor cast and to bring this, you know, City by the River here in Louisville to Showboat.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, great. Well, Joe, I really appreciate you spending a few minutes on the Rusty Satellite Show, and good luck, or they say break a leg, right?
Absolutely.
Let's do that. And if our listeners want to get in touch with the opera, it's kyopera.org?
.org, correct.
Okay.
Yep.
And that'll do it for another Rusty Satellite Show. Thanks to Joe Mekovic for being on the show, as well as Jennifer Bielstein on this arts-oriented theme show for the Rusty Satellite Show. This is an opportunity for me to thank the people that helped me put this show together. It's really great. I want to start with Dan Vonderhyde, who runs Louisville.am and is the producer of this fine program. Helps me out with a lot of ideas for the show as well. If you go to RustySatelliteShow.com or Louisville.am and see these great pictures of my guests, that's the work of Bill Breimer. He's the main photographer for this program, and he goes around with me to all the interviews. It's really great. We have a good time together. And a lot of news about this show and other things around town are available on LouisvilleKY.com. That's a site I own and operate. My good friend Jackie Bentley spends a lot of time posting news articles up there. You can find out everything that's going on in Louisville there at the site. So thanks to Jackie, and she keeps up with everything going on with LouisvilleKY.com. So a lot of good things coming up. I know you're all celebrating. It is my birthday on Friday, so be sure and bring me a present or do something to celebrate. 55 years old, can you believe it? Anyway, I love my birthday, and I'm looking forward to it. Thanks to my sponsors, Passport Health Plans and Snelling Staffing, who make this show possible. Really appreciate their support and look forward to continuing Rusty Satellite Show in the future. So that's going to do it for this show. We'll be back next week with two more of the most interesting people in the Ville right here on the Rusty Satellite Show.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to LouisvilleKY.com, the pulse of the city.
Time out.